In spite of all the trouble that's in America and the crisis that we're in spiritually, I believe that we have come to the place that the Bible does call the last days. Anybody believe that? These are the last of the last days. But it is as much as we understand and know that there's a great falling away in our time, there is also the greatest opportunity for revival. And it depends upon the people of God whether or not we open our hearts and our lives to the inspection of the Holy Ghost to give us direction for our lives. And remember, the Bible said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, we have a generation that don't know how to pray. They think just about 3 minutes is all that's necessary. It takes more than praying 3 minutes on your knees or just standing, amen, to really get a hold of God and touch the throne of grace. Amen. Oh, this generation, even in the church world, they do not understand the principle of praying anything through to victory. Well, in the second chapter of Joel, amen, second chapter of Joel, amen. We're going to start at verse 1, and then we'll skip down several verses and skip through here. Trust that the Lord will help us this morning. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse 12, Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the pommel worm, the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. Ye shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. You may be seated. I read these verses this week several times, and I come to the realization that we are in a very difficult time in the American church. There, strange as it may seem, some of the foreign countries of the world, even among the heathen countries, they are having a great revival. And yet in America, there has become a great falling away from the truth. The truth will set you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. A few services ago, we read out of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want Ricky to go back and just pick up in those verses and read them in your hearing this morning, because we want to address some of that subject matter and to get us to understand that we need a revival of sanctified and holy living in the American church. Amen. Read, Ricky.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Amen. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I want us to notice something in that verse. Many shall depart from the faith, not a faith. The faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. Rick is going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1 here in just a minute. But I want us to understand that what Paul is addressing Timothy here, departing from the faith, that means revolting against the truth, rebelling against the truth. Men are warned here and in other places to take heed lest their hearts become evil and unbelieving and cause them to depart from the truth. Now I want to tell you, amen, giving heed to seducing spirits, the reason is because they are departing from the faith of which they have been raised in all of their life. And when you depart from the faith of God's eternal book, knowing that this book is right, when you depart from that, you open the door to all kinds of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. He said, giving heed to seducing spirits. Amen. These are deceiving demons that come to seduce or deceive men, to lead them astray, to entice them to surrender everything that is right and everything that is chaste and everything that is pure, and to forfeit virtue or surrender chastity. Amen. I've never in my life, and some of you folks are older than I am, but never in my life have I seen such a generation that is so perverted in their thinking and polluted in their minds, to where they think this, just like it was in the days of Noah. Their minds are on evil things continually. They take a conversation that you may be talking to them, and good, decent conversation, and they'll take one word out of that and twist it to make something vulgar and filthy out of it. Their minds are polluted. That's this generation, if y'all didn't know it. The Bible said, knowing that these times would come, amen, that men would give themselves over to these spirits, giving heed to doctrines of devils. Y'all didn't know the devil had a doctrine? He does. Amen. To urge departure from the faith is the first work of the devil. Depart from everything that you have been taught that is true and right and holy and pure. To just depart from that. Rebel against it. The results in departure from holy living and the acceptance of doctrines that will damn the souls of men. Men who pretend inspiration and revelation and false teachers of all kinds are the agents of the devil. Amen. I want to tell you, we are living in the time that that scripture is being fulfilled right now. Amen. Right. Speaking right. lies in hypocrisy. That means they pretend to be this, but they are really this.
All right.
Amen. They pretend to be church going people, but yet their lives are hypocrites. Amen. They live something entirely different from what they speak with their mouth and their lips.
Right.
The Bible,
right.
Jesus said, this generation of this people serves me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Right.
Amen. Right. And then he talked about having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Amen. To sear with a red hot iron, like to brand it or to callous. It means to make it calloused or to harden. Insensible. Totally insensible to what is right and what is wrong. Amen. One fellow said one time that the time has already come when people can't discern between right and wrong. They don't know the left hand from the right hand. Hello? Amen. And that's the reason that Joel said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Amen. Sanctify the people. We have arrived in that deceiving generation that has no sensibility as to what's right and what's wrong. They have lost all capabilities of knowing, amen, that God's book is right and everything else is wrong. Amen. Help me here. Yeah, all right, Rick, and read in 2 Timothy chapter 3.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Didn't say they wouldn't love God, just love pleasure more than God. We are in a pleasure-loving generation now, and they would rather go to pleasures than to seek God in the house of the Lord. Go ahead.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Denying the power of godliness to change their life. Amen. Now, you can stop right there, Ricky, for a while. But as Paul here was laying out his description of the church at the end of the age, and that's what he's doing in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's laying the foundation. He's describing what is going to come to pass in the end of the age. And he saw that there were would be many with nothing more than having a form of godliness. Church, yes. Saying, yes. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. A social gospel. I've heard this term mentioned several times on the news in the last few weeks. They are preaching a social gospel. Amen. Not a gospel that will change men's lives, but just a form of godliness, a social right. gospel that is accepted by everybody. Right. Amen. And don't y'all fall out with me this morning, but when I hear, amen, and it's been on the news many times over, preachers of this social gospel that get in their pulpits and rail on America and use cuss language, cursing, amen, in the pulpit. And they call that a social gospel. I want to tell you, we are living in the end time. That if you ever intended to live for God and get right with God, you better get with the program. Because if right. you don't, you will open the door to a social gospel.
Right.
And the Bible said that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Right. They believe in their religious mentality that they're all right. They're, amen. They go to church. It's a social gospel. Amen. They believe in Jesus Christ. Come on, stay with me here this morning. Right. Amen. But we are living in an end time church world, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of that godliness to change men's lives. Amen. Paul's describing here, amen, in the barest sense, simplest sense that you can imagine, this must mean that these people would have the outward trappings, amen, of a walk with God, but lack any inward reality of the presence of Jesus Christ. They know Amazing Grace, and they sing the song Amazing Grace. They go to church, amen, mega churches, with a social gospel that's not offensive to anybody. It's acceptable to everybody, not dealing with the sin problem. Amen. But just a social gospel that anybody and everybody can accept. Amen. Come on here. Y'all stay with me here. I want to tell you this morning, if you didn't know this, I know you do know it. Now, whether you have forgotten it or not, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God? The will of God is even your sanctification, to separate and sanctify yourself from the world. Amen. People have a form of godliness. They have all the trappings. They go to church dressed up. Amen. At least some churches they do. Amen. I just recently read about a church somewhere out in the Midwest that they have a drive-through church. You drive through, amen. They open a window. You pay them your dues, amen, and go on to the lake. Amen. And they come with their shorts, and amen. But they are members of the church, and they're going to heaven, they say, when they die. But if that's true, then the Bible's a lie.
Right.
Amen. And the same church that is a drive-through church, amen, you can buy a bottle of beer, amen, at the window when you pay your dues. I want to tell you, we're living in a generation where deception is ruling our nation religiously. Amen. It's to some people it's difficult to ascertain exactly what Paul meant through or what went through this. How can I say this? I'm not sure, and everybody else, amen, may have your concept, but I'm not sure exactly what this old warrior, amen, went through his mind when he wrote about these last days. Amen. These conditions did not exist in his day, but he said they would come in the latter days, or in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. He wasn't speaking of the day in which he was living. Amen. For the church was red hot and on fire for God then. But he was addressing the last or the latter times, the latter days. He was addressing that. And he was explaining to us or describing to us the conditions that would exist in our time. We have arrived, if you didn't know it. Amen. And he wrote about these last day Christians who were content with a form of godliness. Amen. They just happen to go to church. Amen. But they don't want to change their way. They don't want to change their attitude. They don't want to change their thinking. They don't want to change their living. They don't want to change their conduct and behavior. They're happy the way they are without any change and be religious at the same time. Religion will not save you from hell. It'll take an old-fashioned experience of salvation at the cross of Christ in an altar of prayer. Amen. Amen. To where you are sorry for your sin.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Repentance is a message that is forgotten in our generation. Amen. It seems evident to me that as Paul, in his mind, he becomes filled with thoughts of the church at the end of the age, that he envisioned a majority of churchgoers. He saw our time. He saw right now a majority of these churchgoers who would be content with a mere semblance of Christianity. Amen. The people he saw in his mind's eye would prefer to convey an image to those all around about them that they were walking with the Lord, although it really was not so in their hearts. Their minds, their thoughts were on evil yet. Amen. They changed nothing. Their lifestyle did not change. Their dress and conduct and behavior did not change. But yet they're content to be religious without a change in heart. Right. Anybody here say amen? Now, no matter how their particular form of godliness took shape, there's one common denominator among all these last day professing Christians, was that they were not willing to allow the Holy Ghost to come down into their hearts, amen, and make their motives and desires vulnerable to His Spirit. You hear me?
Right.
Amen. Having a form of godliness. Amen. They don't want the Spirit of God to make any corrections in their life. Amen. These people would live an outward expression. They know how to sing Amazing Grace. Amen. And then, are y'all still with me? Amen. Boogie on the next verse. Amen. They can sing Amazing Grace at a gathering. Amen. And pass around their beer cans. Yeah. Somebody said, Brother Savage, is that really going? Yes, it is. Amen. But I want to tell you, hell's going to be hot for these deceiving preachers.
That's
amen.
Right.
That have
right.
left the principles of righteousness.
Right.
Amen. And deceived a multitude of people. Amen. And led them straight into the regions of the damned in hell because they have preached a social gospel that has no effect of changing hearts and lives.
Right.
Amen. Somebody say amen. These people, they live an outward form. They know the songs. They know to clap their hands on when the beat is right. Amen. They know how to raise their hands or to windshield wiper their praise. Amen. They do. They praise God. Amen. And they leave the house of God and go to a place of the dyes of sin in the world and tell you in a heartbeat they are a Christian. Anybody here say amen? And at the same time that these modernist and worldly apostate Christians are so deluding Christianity and so polluting the gospel, and yet at the same time God said in His word there'd be a falling away. In the last days there'd be a falling away. Amen. Now that's, hey, Brother Savage, how can you correlate that with the verse of Scripture that God said in the last days He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh? How can there be a falling away at the same time there's a great revival? Amen. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Those professing Christians are falling away from the truth. But there are yet people in America, I am persuaded, that deep down inside of their hearts, they are hungry for a move of God. Hallelujah. There's something stirring inside as we look around and we see the day in which we are living, the apostasy of our time. Amen. I've given you this phrase many times before, and I'm going to rehearse it to you again this morning. Amen. I've come through a lot of different stages of life. Amen. And I remember when the rebellious 60s come, and then the permissive 70s, and then the godless 80s, and the apostate 90s. Amen. And here we are in a new century and a new millennia. Amen. And we have a division in the church world. Amen. There's the worldly people, modern people, social gospel people that's going further left all the time. Amen. Are y'all still with me? It boggles my mind that America, amen, could possibly elect thee. And I say thee because that is the declaration of the news, amen, of our time. The most liberal senator in the entire Senate, amen, as president of the United States. It boggles my mind, but amen, he believes in a social gospel. Right. Amen, amen, it doesn't matter. Just go to church. That's all that's necessary. Just have a semblance of Christianity without ever having a change in your heart. But at the same time, there are people that are living in our day right now that there is a deepened hunger inside of them. They see the condition of the apostate world. Amen. Those that once knew God, and all of a sudden they come to the realization, we've got to have a revival.
Right.
We got to have a move of God. We must return to the principles of righteousness and holiness. Amen. I believe there is a longing in the hearts of true believers to experience God's power like they have never had before. And it's necessary. You hear me?
Right.
It's necessary that we have that kind of revival in your own heart and in our local church. If we don't, amen, we too will go and turn to the social gospel of the time when
right.
you shut the power of God out of your life, when you shut the ability to change your motives and desires and intents, amen, you open the door to worldliness and a social gospel. Amen. But there
right.
are some people
right.
yet that is hungry for God. We've got to have a move of the Spirit of God. They want to see something real from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Help me. I hope you are one of these. Amen. That are tired of a carnal message. Amen. That caters to the emotions and the academic sermons aimed at the intellect. A social gospel without any changing results. I hope you are one of these that want to hear, amen, a word, a fresh word from God. Amen. Of what his word tells us that
right.
we can have in this generation, the last days. Amen. They long to be, praise God, touched, amen, in the heart by the words, amen, that have the unction of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. They want a sense of divine energy moving inside of them, invigorating them, empowering them, anointing them, kindling in them a new love for Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. Amen. That we're able to stand firm and say, hallelujah, these are the last days.
Yeah.
But these are the days that God said, I'll pour out of my
yes.
spirit upon all flesh. And if you want the blessing, and if you want the power, you can have it. Amen. But we'll have to turn a deaf ear to this new whirling crowd. Amen. And seek God more than you have ever sought him before.
Right.
Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible promises this kind of life experience to Christians. And it wasn't, amen, just men, only to those who lived in a different era way back there in the apostles' day. But it is promised to those who live in the last of the last days that we too can have a move of God right now among our people. How? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. That's the promise that God made. Amen. God said through the prophet Joel, I will restore to them Amen. You hear me? Somebody say amen. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. Amen. God said, I'll restore all of that. Amen. If you seek my face, amen, sanctify yourselves. Call a solemn assembly. Let the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Amen. Let there be a returning to righteousness and purity. Amen. And a sanctified living. Amen. And when that happens, God said, I will restore the power in the church.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. I'm feeling better right now. One of the primary functions of God's power is the transformation of taking sinners and making saints out of them. God will not bless a dirty vessel. But he will bless a sanctified life. Praise God. Amen. Transforming those out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Changing them. Making new creatures out of them. Hallelujah. It's a process. The New Testament calls sanctification. Praise God. We can debate and argue till your hair turns gray and falls out on the floor when a person gets sanctified. There's a lot of debate on that these days. But I want to tell you, amen, if sanctification does not begin when you get saved, amen, you're not saved. God does not produce a sinning religion.
Right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Sanctification has its roots in salvation, but it is not limited to that experience. It goes along in your life and sanctifies you daily. Right. Amen. Right. Help me here. Are y'all still with me?
Right.
Amen. Otherwise, they say you can be saved. Amen. And still smoke a little bit. Or still chew a little bit. Or still cuss just a word now and then. But you're not sanctified yet. That's a sinning religion.
Right.
The Bible
right.
never condoned that kind of a living. Amen. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Change it. Right.
Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Touch not, taste not, handle not the unclean thing. Anybody here now say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's power is certainly available to us today, changing, transforming sinners into saints. Amen. And this New Testament definition of sanctification, amen, the common or unclean, amen, is made holy by the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Ghost power. Somebody say amen. True, real, genuine Christianity, amen, offers the, if you are earnestly seeking God, amen, this real New Testament cleansing, amen, offers this dear seeker a life that is becoming increasingly free from that poisonous touch of sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Depart from iniquity. Amen. Amen. And I have to say to you that sometimes even the believer, the true believer. Now I want to tell you, I got enough sense to know that everybody who goes to church don't live right. Anybody understand that? But the true believer has a desire in their heart to live right. Amen. The reason that David was a man after God's own heart does not mean that he never did anything wrong. Lots of tragic mistakes in the life of King David, but he was a man after God's own heart because he was a good repenter. And soon as he come to the realization that he had sinned, amen, or the prophet brought it to his attention, amen, he repented, said, "Oh God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Amen. And that's the reason that David was a man after God's own heart, because his, amen, he wanted to fix it if it was wrong. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Oh, let me tell you. Amen. And daily you will have to battle the powers of temptation and darkness that belongs in the human race. Amen. You've got to conquer. You have to conquer stubbornness. You have to conquer rebellion. You have to conquer unbelief. You have to conquer sinful habit patterns. You got to. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. There has been times in my life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but there's been times in my life that it'd be awful easy to have ill feelings toward people. You know, people sometimes don't do you right. Amen. Anybody here? Amen. Even sometimes preachers do you wrong. But there have been a few times I've grabbed myself by the nape of the neck and say, "Savage, you ain't going to act like that." "No, you savage? No, savage. No, you're not going to, amen, you're not going to even think like that. If there be anything good, if there be anything pure, if there be anything holy, if there be anything righteous, think on these things." You can control what you think about. Amen. So you have to conquer self. You have to conquer, amen, temptation. You have to overcome selfish nature. Amen. You have to overcome surging pride. Amen. A poor man looks at himself, looks down inside, he sees what he's like, and he doesn't like what he sees, and finally he says, "Oh God, amen, sanctify my thoughts, sanctify my mind." Anybody ever done that? That's the only way you'll ever have victory in this world. Amen, is to ask God to take that thought before that thought. Amen. Thoughts in them and of themselves is not sin. It's yielding to that temptation that becomes sin. But you need to get that thought cleansed while it is still a thought instead of an action. Amen. But I want to tell you, Christianity, real, genuine, pure Christianity, amen, comes forward, hallelujah, and claims to have the wherewithal to bring about a change in the worst of characters. I've seen some awful, wicked people that were changed by the power of God in their life. Amen. Hippy chippy. Amen. It's changed this morning from what he was. Amen. Can y'all picture him, a long-haired hippie? Town is back. Amen. On drugs. Amen. It's hard to imagine that. But God's grace, God's mercy. Such were some of you, but you are sanctified. You are holy. Amen. God has changed your life. Amen. I look around this congregation this morning. Amen. And I see people that at one time in their life, Amen. They was on the dance hall swinging and boogieing and dancing and square dancing and shaking and shimmering. Amen. To the music on the floor. Ah, but they no longer do. How come? Amen. Because God, by His great mercy and His love and His power, has changed them. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. The power of God. The power of God can flush the filth out of the heart of a sexual addict and leave innocence and purity. Amen. In that man's heart that was one time filthy. But only God can do that. Amen. The Holy Ghost dealing with a man's life, indwelling. Amen. Change a hopeless drunk or drug addict into a sober-minded man. Amen. God can take and transform a thief. Amen. And a robber into a man of virtue. God can change a liar. Amen. Into a lover of truth. God can change a mocker. Praise God, into a serious-minded man. Amen. Or an arrogant bragger. Amen. I've seen a lot of braggers in the church world. But God can change that too. Amen. Into a meek and an humble lamb. Amen. But any of those characteristics has to be changed by God. Amen. Amen. A drunkard cannot change himself. A drug addict cannot change himself. It'll take the power of God in a man's life to change him and to sanctify his heart and his soul. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. If you help me, Lord, this morning. I'm getting ready to close here in about another 2 hours. Amen. If you could peer into the heavenly world tonight, if you could just get a glimpse into a place that's called heaven, praise God. Amen. And you could see what and who is over there. You would, to your surprise, you would see people over there that at one time was the scum and the filth. Amen. That lived in the gutters of sin. Amen. That today they're in the portals of glory. But they didn't get there by their own bootstraps. Amen. They didn't get there by turning over a new leaf. Amen. They didn't get there by just deciding one day, I'm going to live better and do better. It was the Spirit and the power of God that changed them and made them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. The man that William Booth, that was the founder of the Salvation Army back in its beginnings. I can't tell you all about what it is now, but in its early days and infancy, amen, William Booth went to the wharf rats, amen, and the scum and outcast of society. He went down where the drunks were. He went down where the prostitutes were. He went down to the filthy part of town and gave them hope and said, there is a better way to live. There's a Jesus Christ that can change you. Amen. And somewhere in the glory world today, amen, there are souls that, amen, William Booth, amen, pulled out of the muck and the mire and the filth and the corruption of their lives. Amen. And they became children of God, sanctified, holy. Amen. Because God's grace reached down. Amen. And that's the only thing that's going to change our generation. Amen. We have an apostate world out there, but we can have a revival in the church. Amen. If my people who are called by my name shall pray. Hallelujah. We need to be revitalized and re-energized. Amen. By the quickening power of the Holy Ghost in our church. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, just a quiet. I don't know what y'all can do here this morning. Amen. Just a quiet, pious little church service that gets nobody's feathers ruffled, and social gospel, and we sing a few songs, and amen, preacher read a book report, And pray a little dab, and we can say we've been to church and satisfied our minds and our conscience. I want to tell you, that's not going to bring a revival. Amen. Amen. The last account I had, when I looked out here this morning on our church sign, it said Massanova Pentecostal Church. It didn't say Presbyterian or Episcopalian. Praise God, it said Pentecostal Church. Amen, and we are Pentecostal, and amen, we lift our voices, amen, and worship Him, praise God, with a loud voice. Amen, we play our instruments, amen, because we are Pentecostal and had the experience of God. Amen, I preach to you this morning, amen, from God's holy book, amen, sanctified living is still right. Amen, because we are Pentecostal in experience, not just in name. You can have the name without having the experience. But when you have the experience down in your life and the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, amen, all of a sudden you want to change something. Amen, your life, your heart, your soul is anxious after God and His power in your life. Somebody say amen. I've seen countless individuals changed, amen, in just a moment of time. The skeptics, they can line up, amen, with their sneering cynicism and say it can't happen and it don't happen and all we have is a social gospel. But I want to tell you, there is a reality in the power of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Ha! Amen. They can deny the power of God all they want to. Amen. But for you and I that has a desire for a Holy Ghost move and an outpouring of the Spirit of God in our name, in our time, in our church, in our hearts. Amen. If you have that kind of a hunger for God, you can have it. Amen. In spite of an apostate, godless society. Amen. That says we only have a social gospel, amen, to present to you. But I want to tell you, amen, these are the, how can I say this? These are the opportunity time, amen, to have a glorious revival in the church. Amen. Did you know the candle shines the brightest when it is the darkest? Amen. We got in this church here this morning. Amen. And the sun shining and the sunshine coming in the windows. Amen. And we got plenty of light. And if I was to light a candle right here, amen, and set it on this pulpit, amen, you wouldn't pay much attention to it because there's so much light all around. But you let it get dark. You let all the dusk of dawn lights go out. Amen. You let the midnight hour come. Amen. The electric goes off. And no light, artificial or otherwise, is shining. And you can take a candle and stick right here. Amen. And it chases darkness. Amen. Plumb away wherever you take that light. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It becomes your lifesaver. Amen. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But ye are the light of the world. Men do not take a candle and stick it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all those that are in the room. Hallelujah. And what a blessed opportunity that we have in this dark generation in America to let our light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Best I can tell, the Lord opened the Apostle Paul's heart to see the church during the final days of which we are living right now. Something quite different, something deformed, something that is misshapen, something that is polluted, a religion without a salvation, a social gospel without ever changing the heart and the mind. The vast majority, amen, of professing Christians that the Apostle Paul saw were actually doing their utmost, amen, their utmost to resist the of God to change lives. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of that gospel to change. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, the devil has a substitute gospel. Hear me. Amen. Amen. These last day professing Christians prefer what is really little more than outward semblance of Christianity without possessing anything of salvation. He saw a kind of religion where God is kept at bay, where the Holy Spirit is not allowed down in the deep, dark recesses of the closets of men's hearts. He saw a kind of religion where his efforts, God's efforts to sanctify and purify, amen, the hearts of people are hindered because they don't want that kind of religion. Only a social gospel is acceptable. Help me here. They want only a gospel that they themselves are the lordship of their heart, and Christ has no throne of their heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'll tell you who knows. God knows. I'm trying to choose my words this morning. A great many evangelicals even have come into this apostate generation that has a form of godliness but deny the power of that gospel. And they don't even realize that they have become a part of that social system. They really don't. I don't know how many people I talk to, amen, almost on a daily basis. I pray. And yet, there's no change in their life. There's no change in their heart. I pray. I'm going to tell you, it takes more than just saying a prayer. It takes repentance. Hello here. And they don't even realize they have become a part of the social gospel. Amen. And it's only come about in the last 30 or 40 years. Amen. Since this newer, younger generation has come along and they have become a part of this mentality of this generation, having a form of godliness, knows the songs, amen, can worship God in the church, but go out and live like the devil. Amen. When they get outside the house of God. Hello here. Amen. They've entered into this, I'd like to call it this anemic religious lifestyle. And they do not understand that this is not the real thing. This is all they have been raised in. That's what they have been accustomed to. Hello here. And social gospel has become the norm for our generation. Help me here. They make no bones about it. They'll tell you in a heartbeat that their church is a social gospel church. Man, I can tell you, 50 years ago, if they had used that term, people would have run from them like they had the poison plague. Amen. But we have grown into this mentality. Amen. That all you have to do is just be religious. Just have a form. Amen. Go to church. Sing the songs that everybody sings. Amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. And then go out. Just do your own thing. And they've grown up in that mentality and have no distinction that there is such a thing that God says is right and there is such a thing that God said is sin. Sin has become glamorous. Amen. I thought, help me here. Don't fall out with me here this morning. I thought so many times this week, amen, and I read to you a few Sundays ago and preached to you about the decline of the family and how that in the 1960s, how many divorces there were and remarriages there were and how many single family parents they were then and what it is now. And I gave you those statistics a few, amen, a weeks ago. And I want to tell you, we are desensitized to our time. And divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage. And it's not only just become ordinary and acceptable, but it's become fashionable to be divorced and remarried several times. Amen. And everybody thinks that's great. Praise God. Help me here. Are y'all still with me here this morning? Amen. Some kinfolks, I ain't going to call their names, but some kinfolks, amen, have been divorced and remarried seven times. Amen. You'd think after a while, amen, the next feller that comes along, amen, would scratch his head and say, well, I'm going to be the eighth one. I don't know whether I want to. Hello here. We are living in a generation that is fashionable. Amen. Let presidents, amen, that, are y'all still with me? Oh, help me. I'm in trouble. I know I am. Help me. It's okay. It's acceptable. Amen. Just have extramarital affairs. Amen. It's part of society. Hey, preacher, we're living in a different generation. We're living where people don't think those things are wrong anymore. Amen. Just shack up and live together like dogs. Amen. And think it's fashionable. It's acceptable. I want to tell you, it's still a sin. It's still a sin. But we have grown up in this society in the last 30, 40 years until we don't think anything about it. Part of the way it is. Our generation. And it's not just in the world out there. It's creeping by leaps and bounds into our holiness churches. And the permissive sin that is equally as damning in the church or more so than it is outside the church. Anybody here say amen? These people have not experienced the overwhelming sensation, amen, of being forcefully corrected by the God of heaven because they have treated his holiness with a flippant attitude. Not serious. We want the preacher to preach it, and we want the preacher to live it, but hey, don't require us to live like that. Help me here. We have grown up and become so desensitized to sin in people's lives that we've accepted it as a part of just life. Amen. It doesn't shock us anymore. E.M. Blakelock said, the greatest prevention of sin is the ability to be shocked at it. And when we cease to be shocked at sin. Hello. Cease to be shocked at sin. We have opened the door to a social gospel. When Paris Hilton in her lifestyle and Nana Nicole Smith that is now deceased, amen, lived their lifestyle in such a morbid, sinful, wicked way, it's drifted over into the church world and we see no wrong and see no sin. But if my people, I'm getting ready to close, you can come with a song. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've gotten on my knees and I have prayed, amen, for you in this congregation. And I have prayed, are y'all still with me? For my own relatives. And interceded, God, please forgive them of their sin. They don't realize. They don't have any idea how far away from God they really are. They don't pray. Just a little dab when they come to church. They come to the altar. Amen. Stay long enough that everybody can see that they've come. Amen. To where nobody will be after them to pray. Amen. Look around. Get up and go back to their seat or to the water fountain or to the restroom without ever asking God to forgive them of their sin. We have arrived. We have arrived. But God said, if my people will pray, I will restore everything that they have lost. Amen. God said, I will restore all the years of the cankerworm, the pommel worm. Amen. The pestilence that has come and destroyed their crops. Amen. Oh, God said, I'll restore all of it if they will pray. If they will pray. Amen. I know we got some other things to do this morning in honor of Mother's Day. Amen. But I think it'd be good for us to take time, first of all, to come and seek the Lord and His office. If my people, everybody stand, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Hear from heaven, forgive their sins.